You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Melissa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. I tell you what a week it has been in NBA free agency. It's been fast, it's been furious, but up first, we're going to kick off our program with getting you ready for the start of the 2016 college football season. It is hard to believe. It is just around the corner. Teams will be back at it soon, and we're going to gear up for the big season ahead with one of the very best in our business. That, of course, he is a Big E favorite, Phil Steele, the publisher of Phil Steele, the magazine, and philsteele.com. So many questions we're looking forward to getting answered, like who's going to make the college football playoff and how he anticipates the season will play out. Good evening, Phil. I hope you've had a fantastic summer with the family.
I sure have. How about yourself, Alyssa?
Doing great. Lots of golf, so it keeps me busy. But let's talk some college football. We're here in the, I'd say, the heart of the Big 12 conference. We are down here in Houston. Who is your favorite to win the Big 12 title this year?
Well, I'm going with the Oklahoma Sooners. Now, the one negative that I have with Oklahoma is the last four times they have been ranked in the preseason top five, they have not even finished in the top 15. In fact, twice finished the season unranked. So when they have lofty preseason expectations, they have not done well. But with what happened to Baylor, Oklahoma really has a pretty clear path to getting to the title game and winning the Big 12. You look at quarterback Baker Mayfield's back. They've got P. Ryan and Mixon at running back, solid receiving core, and offensive line led by Orlando Brown at left tackle. They have about 22-rated offensive line. On the defensive side, they've got plenty of all-star caliber players, including my number four secondary in the country. And Bob Stoops' team is always solid on special teams. They're solid on special teams. My number five rated special teams in the country. And when you look at the schedule this year, they get Ohio State early in the year, where Ohio State's a very young team playing its first road game. They play Houston out of the box. I actually have Oklahoma favored in all 12 games this year, and I expect them to win the Big 12.
And I was going to say, do you think the schedule does play in their favor, as you had just mentioned, playing Ohio State early, and then, of course, right here in Houston?
Yeah, that's a big game early for to get Ohio State. I think Ohio State's going to be playing its best ball at the end of the year when they play teams like Michigan State and Michigan, determining the Big Ten title. Ohio State could very well still win the Big Ten this year, but the fact Oklahoma catches the and Ohio State's the least experienced team in the country, number 128 out of 128, three returning starters on offense, three on defense, first road trip, third game of the season. Nice advantage for Oklahoma to have.
And your impressions of the Oklahoma Sooners offensively, you had just highlighted talking about Heisman Trophy candidate and quarterback Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, they have my number five rated offense overall in the country this year. And the offensive line with Orlando Brown and Drew Samia at the tackle spot is solid. They're solid at center with Alvarez. And then you look at the running backs. P. Ryan and Mixon, one of the best running back combos in the entire country. They had in a Penn State transfer, a wide receiver, and Geno Lewis to go with D.D. Westbrook. So they are loaded at receiver and tight end solid. Mark Andrews, 6'5", 244, one of the best tight ends in the country. So they are good at all four of the positions on offense and one of the best offenses in the country.
He is one of our favorites, the publisher of Phil Steele, the magazine, philsteele.com. Reach out to our audience nationally, Phil, and where can they connect with you online?
Online, it's at philsteele.com. That's S-T-E-E-L-E.com. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at philsteele042. That's at philsteele042. And you can also actually get the magazine and your iPad or iPhone through the Apple Store or on your Android device through Google Play. And that saves a little wear and tear on the magazine during the course of the season.
Absolutely. Hey, we are zeroing in on the Big 12 Conference right now. Specifically, Phil's top pick is the Oklahoma Sooners. And let's take time to give some credit to the offensive coordinator in Lincoln Riley. He is back for his second season and I thought did an amazing job reviving the offense. How was he able to do it so quickly and obviously was very effective?
Yeah, and I like how he adapted. You look at the first half of the season, Oklahoma was not running the ball all that effectively. But once they lost to Texas, Riley opted to turn it more over to P. Ryan and Mixon in the second half of the year. And you saw Oklahoma get huge chunks of yards on the ground, which in turn opened it up for the pass game. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma had the most dynamic offense in college football over the last eight games of the season last year after that loss to Texas. So you look at the fact that Riley came in, it took him a little bit of time to get his feet wet, but he is one of the best offensive coordinators out there. And I'll go back to two summers ago. I was talking to Gil Brandt, and Gil said, hey, offensive coordinator on the rise, Lincoln Riley, and then a year later he's at Oklahoma.
Okay, one more quick hit on the Oklahoma Sooners. Where do you see them most vulnerable? I mean, is it defensively? Because they did lose some key players.
Yeah, they did. And really, when you look at the linebacking core, I rate them number 31 in the country. They lose Stryker at the outside linebacker spot, Dominique Alexander at the inside linebacker, Devontae Bond also gone from there. And you look at the replacements, Tay Evans is a guy that was not one of the top recruits coming out of high school. He's a solid sophomore, though. My number 82 rated linebacker. So the Tay Evans and Jordan Evans are the new guys at middle linebacker. And of the eight units on the team, I rate them number 31 in the country at linebacker, which is their lowest of any of the units. It tells you, first of all, how talented Oklahoma is, but then also a little bit of drop off from the other positions, which mostly rank in the top 10.
Is TCU the biggest threat to the Oklahoma Sooners in the Big 12 Conference?
Yeah, when I was writing the magazine in April, I probably had Baylor up there. I had Baylor about the number 8 team in the country, but now with the Art Briles situation and 9 recruits leaving, and the fact that the magazine was able to go to the press June 2nd, a little bit later than everybody else, I did move TCU up to the number 2 team. And here's what I like about the Frogs, Alyssa.
Okay.
When you look at them defensively last year, they only had 3 returning or 5 returning starters, but lost a couple to injury, and they gave up 398 yards per game. Now, Gary Patterson always has one of the top defenses in the country and didn't really have that last year. Of course, his offense scored so quickly, 563 yards per game. But this year they've got 8 starters back on the defensive side. So I think they're going to have one of the top 20 defenses in the country, if not even stronger than that. And offensively, everybody analyzes a team. They look at the quarterback, running back, receiver. If we do that with TCU, they lose Trevon Boykin. They lose Aaron Green at running back. They lose Josh Doxson at receiver. You say they're in for a rebuilding year. But I like the replacements. Kenny Hill comes in at QB. And I remember in the first year of Trevon Boykin, they were thinking of moving him to receiver in 2014, yet he adapted to the offense. They went from 25 points per game to 46 points per game. Kenny Hill did a good job at Texas A&M. I think he'll do a good job with this offense. At running back, they've got Kyle Hicks and Sean Nixon, two of the top running backs in the Big 12. And then a receiver, they get Deontay Gray back from injury. They get add in my number 7, number 8 rated JUCOs and Ryan Parker and Taj Williams. They had an LSU transfer in John Diars. I think they're going to have an underrated receiving core this year, and the offensive line looks solid. So despite losing their top quarterback, running back, and receivers, TCU still should have a very potent offense. They get Oklahoma at home October 1st,
right,
which is why I think they're Oklahoma's biggest threat to winning the Big 10 this year, or the Big 12 this year.
Well, that's one of the big question marks coming into the season for TCU, is breaking in a new quarterback. So are you saying that the Texas A&M transfer, Kenny Hill, he has definitely solidified that? Because I thought Foster Sawyer might be in the hunt, too.
They are both battling for it. I project Kenny Hill is going to win the job, though. Sawyer is a guy that's got his 6'5", 228. He's taller than Hill, and he is definitely in the mix at the quarterback spot. I think no matter which guy wins it, like I said, when Boykin was there 2 years ago, they were thinking, let's move this guy to wide receiver, and he came in and adapted pretty well to that offense and had a big year.
Okay, and what about the offensive line for the TCU Horned Frogs?
Up front on the offensive line, they've got two starters back. They do lose some key players, but Patterson has always done well. If you go back to his track record with inexperienced offensive lines, he usually does extremely well. Now, I still rate him, despite their inexperience level on the offensive line, as my number 42 rated O-line in the country. Joseph Noteboom comes in at the left tackle spot. I think he's one of the better left tackles out there. Pryor and Schlottman both have starting experience. They started 5 and 4 games last year. And Avante Collins, who's filling in at right tackle, is a guy that's got 23 career starts under his belt. So it's an offensive line, a little more experienced than normal, and I like the fact that Patterson, when he has an inexperienced offensive line, usually fields a pretty good group.
Much more coming your way at YSR, the Big East Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Biggie.
Hey, we are back at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Biggie Sports Show, here in hour number 2. And I tell you what, in the NBA, there has been no shortage of storylines. We've got NBA Summer League that's underway in Las Vegas. And Spurs legend Tim Duncan announces his retirement. There is a lot to break down with our next guest right here at YSR. Our very own Joe George is back in studio. Good evening, Joe.
What's up, Biggie? How you doing?
Hey, it is always good to post you up on a Friday night. So talk to me about Timmy Duncan. He turns 40 in April, and he announces on Monday that he's retiring from the NBA after 19 seasons with the San Antonio Spurs, won 5 championships, left an incredible mark and legacy in the league. How are you going to remember him?
Well, I think his retirement was funny because it was just the most Tim Duncan way to retire ever.
True.
Like, no one's really talking about anything. He just kind of lets a press release out. His first interview was with an online radio station or something like that in the Virgin
Long-time
Islands.
Long-time friend, yeah.
Yeah, that no one's ever heard of. It was hard to find the audio of even. He doesn't even attend his own press conference. It was the most Tim Duncan thing to retire ever. I'm not surprised that he retired. He finally looked like he was slowing down. The feet were catching up to him. He just didn't look like that guy that we had known to love. And he had moments last year, even in the playoffs, where like you really felt like he was going to bring the Spurs back against OKC. It didn't happen like it did in previous years. So it was a bummer to see, but I'm not surprised. And I think it's time for the Spurs to move on as well and move in the direction of bringing Gasol in to team up with Aldridge and Kawhi. I like that move a lot. So I think it was the right time for all parties involved. And it's a Tim Duncan way to do it. No retirement. I think it's kind of a bummer, though, that San Antonio fans didn't get to say goodbye in his last game. But I'm sure he'll be back next season to say goodbye.
It is a time of transition for the San Antonio Spurs. And as you're saying, it's tough to say goodbye to a Spurs legend. Are you surprised, though, Joe, that he did not stick around for his 20th season and have kind of that grand exit?
Yeah, it's just not his style. You know, like, you're going to get that with Kobe, and LeBron's going to do the same.
You think Dirk's going to do that, too, when he retires?
I think Dirk's going to be like Duncan.
Yeah,
actually,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He's going to be like, all of a sudden, bye. Look, he's not under contract yet. I mean, are we even sure he's playing this year? I know that sounds crazy, but like...
Yeah, he's got a 2-year deal, $20 million, over the next 2 years.
Oh, is he playing this year?
Yeah.
He signed? Okay. So you got 10... I mean, like,
I think you got to keep up with my Mavs here, Joe.
I know. I feel like Dirk is definitely going to do the same thing as Tim Duncan. He's just going to, one day, he's going to announce his retirement. I think it'll be a little more public. Like, he'll be at the press conference, and he'll maybe say goodbye. Like, if they're for sure not going to make the playoffs next year or the year that it happens, maybe he'll say goodbye, like, in the last game. Because Tim Duncan, at least, he always thought he was competing, so it felt weird to say goodbye during the regular season when you still had a title to chase. And that's the difference between Tim Duncan and Kobe, is Duncan was still chasing titles at the end. Kobe was literally just like, well, I've got nothing left besides myself. So that's kind of the difference there. So Dirk, I think it'll just really depend on the state of the Mavs at that moment when he's ready to retire.
Hey, the uber-talented Joe George is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, live and in person. So talk to me about, I mean, what are we learning from NBA free agency with these max contracts? I mean, should we complain about NBA players' salaries? I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, Bob Ryan was on tonight, and he was talking about it. He didn't agree with it.
I don't think
players are getting overpaid.
I don't think so, because it's the TV money. I mean, what do you want to happen? Like, if the players are not going to be paid this money, but the money is there, it means the owners are going to be more like the NFL.
He's talking about kind of like no-name players that are getting like these big deals.
I understand, but the money's there. If it's not there, it's literally just going to stick with the owners' pockets. And then also, if a team doesn't reach the salary cap floor, the bottom line, they have to then take that money to reach the bottom line and spread it amongst their players anyways. So I don't think it's a big deal. Look, the money's there. Why not spend it? If not, the owners are just going to pocket it. And that I would have more of a problem with. The players are the ones who earn that money, who make that money, who are on TV, even if they don't play all the time. I mean, it's their money. It's their league. We watch them. Yes, Timothy Mozgov, that contract is ridiculous. He is not worth $70 million over 4 years whatsoever. But that's the state of the NBA right now. It's just what it is. I mean, should Mike Conley be the highest paid player in the NBA, in the history of the NBA? No. But he won't be. Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, they will all surpass that next year. So I think it's just weird to see the numbers. But to me, it's just the state of the NBA. And really, at the end of the day, it's a good thing, because it means that's how profitable the NBA is right now. When in the mid-2000s, there was concern about attendance. There was concern about the overall attraction to the game when you have teams like Allen Iverson, 76ers, getting swept by the Lakers in the finals, and there was no talent there. I think this just shows that the state of the NBA is at an all-time high, and fans are contributing lots of money and lots of eyeballs to it.
Well, there's been a lot of movement that's taken place in the offseason. You have to wonder, I mean, Joe, like even the move with Kevin Durant to Golden State, how much is this affecting competitive balance, like even in the Western Conference?
Well, I think the competitive balance is at an all-time high and low. So I think that overall the NBA is super competitive to an extent, but not for an NBA championship. It is competitive to face LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals. It is competitive to face the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. It's not competitive to who's going to play in the NBA championship game. It's almost like we have two NBA championships now. We have the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. And really, it's whoever's going to lose the Warriors and whoever's going to lose the Cavs. So while it's competitive to get to that moment, getting to the NBA Finals is basically impossible. It's Warriors-Cavs. I mean, maybe the Pacers could shock somebody, and if the Warriors have injuries, that they could get knocked out, or whatever's going on with Draymond Green at Michigan State and all that stuff. It's just, I mean, who knows what's going on there.
Wow, yeah.
But really, the NBA is very competitive up until the finals. So to some people, that means it's not competitive at all. To me, it means everyone else is good, and these teams are just subpar. Are just better than everyone else.
Yeah. Now, I know last week on the show, we talked about one of the biggest surprises so far in free agency was Kevin Durant. You hit on that last week. But what about Dwayne Wade? I mean, are you surprised that he was not able to work things out with the Heat? And did they really, honestly, I mean, Joe, do you really think they tried to keep him?
I'm not sure, because they could have done.
Do you think it was a half-hearted effort?
It was a little bit, but at the same time, I think it was the right move, because they said, okay, we're not going to pay this guy and become the Lakers. If we pay this guy this massive contract, we are now going to be the Lakers. We might lose Whiteside. Who knows what's going on with Chris Bosh? And Dwayne Wade wanted that money. Now, look, Dwayne Wade took contract cuts to keep LeBron.
He wanted 50 instead of 40, right?
They couldn't keep LeBron. So he took the first contract cut. They failed there. Like Pat Riley, they all failed Dwayne Wade. He did it again. He's taking massive contract cuts. Not massive, massive, but like decent-sized cuts to where no one else is doing that besides Dirk, really. And like Dirk, it's not paying off in Miami because LeBron's gone and they didn't bring anyone else in. So I think they didn't want to pay Dwayne. They wanted to move on, and with Whiteside as their core piece, Dwayne Wade wanted money. I think that's the reason why the separation, and he also just happened to go home as well. I don't think it really is that big of a deal about going to Chicago. It wasn't like, I'm finally going home, this is my return. It's not like that. It's not LeBron. It's not what we thought might happen with Kevin Durant in Washington. He's just going there because it's the best team of the three available between the Bulls, the Bucks, and the Nuggets.
Okay, so who do we blame? Do we blame Pat Riley? Do we blame Wade? And this is a sad breakup.
I think it's just management overall. I think it's just management as a whole. At the same time, you use the word breakup, it's like maybe it's just time for them to separate. He's been there forever.
You think it was time for Kevin Durant to separate from Oklahoma City?
Yes.
I mean, you tell those fans that.
Well, sorry, you don't even have...
Well, here's the deal. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't know what's going on with Westbrook. He said the last couple of days that, obviously their relationship's never going to be the same now that he left.
I hated to hear that.
I mean, it's a bummer because both are just bad breakups, and that's really what they are right now. Except the difference is that Wade's not going to win a title in Chicago, and Durant's going to win a few in Golden State.
Mm-hmm. Our very own Joe George has been with us tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We look forward to our next conversation. Much more to get into. You think some big moves are going to take place in the next 7 days?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think we're finally at the point where we are calm. And
hey,
we
Westbrook
could
go to the Celtics, right?
Yeah, that's a bad move. I hope it doesn't happen.
Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way in hour number two right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell,
the Big E.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, back with you in hour number one at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are trying to stay cool inside the Quicken Loans Studios here in Houston, and always so excited to visit with our next guest. He is truly one of the legends in our business, and he's with ESPN and a longtime columnist with the Boston Globe, the great Bob Ryan. I hope you've had a good summer so far, Bob.
I have had. Very nice. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Well, listen, there are so many NBA storylines we want to get into, you, especially during free agency. But, you know, who are the biggest winners and the losers? But first and foremost, I'd love for us to pay tribute to the great Tim Duncan, who announced his retirement on Monday. He walked away from the game so quietly in his farewell. Just give us some words about just his incredible career.
Well, it was a perfectly appropriate Tim Duncan farewell in that he didn't even speak himself originally. It was a press release announcing it from the team. He did speak yesterday. He did speak a couple of days ago. Now, the numbers are all out there. Anyone who's interested, they will find out how many times he made All-League, how many times he was MVP, how many points he scored, how many this, how many that, how many the other thing. And that's all fine. And anybody who already cares already knows all that. I'm always interested in the image and legacy that a player leaves. And by legacy, I mean how he played, the style, the unique nature that each great star brings to the game. And Duncan has got a niche that's very, very specific in that he is perhaps the greatest big combination big that we've ever known in terms of being able to play both forward and center at the highest level. You can't really classify him. It's easy to say he's the best power forward in history, which he is, and with all due respect to some greats such as Karl Malone. But he's more than that because he also just slid effortlessly into playing center anytime Greg Popovich needed it and was a high-level center. Not everybody can do that. In fact, there are very few guys who have ever been close to doing that. Kevin McHale probably be the closest thing. And no, really.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's his own special thing. Plus, you have the personality. But what I always will think about with him is the blissful convergence of three things, which is Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, and the city of San Antonio. I honestly believe that he would not have become the same or been able to develop into the player that he became for any other coach. And I don't think he would have been anywhere near as happy in a major media market. It would have altered his career and his outlook on everything. I think he was very fortunate to have run into Greg Popovich and to be drafted by the Spurs. And, of course, they were very fortunate to have him.
Yes, of course, and so many conversations this past week about Tim Duncan. Is he the greatest power forward ever in NBA history? And you talk about, I mean, ends his career, wow, 5 NBA championships, 2-time MVP, 15-time NBA All-Star after 19 seasons. What do you appreciate about him the most? I mean, what comes to my mind is, here's a guy, we talk about even just this quiet farewell. He had no ego.
Well, he also did something that is very rare in this day and age, and it is documented and it's unmistakable, and anybody wants to see to the extent it was, it's remarkable. Go on basketballreference.com and go all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see salary. And you'll see that for the last 4 years of his career, he took one for the team. He absolutely positively saved his team money to enable them to acquire other players. People talk about this. A lot of players, people think Tom Brady's doing it, but really it's fancy bookkeeping. He's not doing it to the extent that Tim Duncan did it. Tim Duncan did it. Tim Duncan played. And I'm not saying that we should feel sorry for him for the money that he was making, and he'd be the last one to ask you to do that.
Yeah.
Believe me. I mean, his career earnings are well over $200 million, but the thing is, he did take one for the team in a way that most guys are refusing to do, and I think that he should be commended for that. Here's the thing. I'm going to throw this one in because
sure.
I think this is very important in understanding Tim Duncan and the uniqueness of this person in the history of NBA basketball. I think he was very fortunate in a lot of ways, one of which was that he was born outside the United States, continental United States. He was born in Christiansted and grew up in St. Croix. This meant that he did not go to high school in America. This meant he did not get involved in the wretched AAU system that has corrupted and ruined and debased our basketball game at every level since it's taken hold and hijacked adolescent basketball from the high schools of America. So he came in pure. Next stroke of good fortune is that the school who saw him and it offered him the scholarship was Wake Forest at that time, because Dave Odom was a pure coach, an egoless coach, a coach who did not coach for glory. He coached because he loved basketball, and he was a professorial type. So that was a perfect marriage for Tim Duncan. So in every step of the way, he brought something to the table that was important, but then he was placed in a circumstance where he could flourish with the right people. And all this went into the making of a unique player, Tim Duncan.
We are celebrating the amazing career of Tim Duncan. Of course, we're going one-on-one with ESPN's and Boston Globe longtime sport columnist, the great Bob Ryan, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab. Okay, so when we talk about Tim Duncan, I mean, in your mind, what is the criteria? I mean, for what makes the player the greatest? What's your criteria for selecting the best, Bob?
There's two ways of looking at great players always. One is peak value, and one is career staying power, if you will. I mean, he gets high marks in both cases.
Okay.
His peak value is that I think he's the best power forward, and because what did he do? He could score. He could score close to the basket. He had that wonderful bank turnaround that would make him a mid-sized scorer. He was an excellent passer, one of the best passers from that position, certainly of his time, if not all time, certainly from the power forward position. I don't think of a better one. I can name small, you know, so Larry Bird is a better passer. LeBron's a better passer. Rick Barry's a better passer. But they're not pure power forwards, any of them. He was. So that's number. Defense, he made all defense about 15 times. There's no argument there. And as a teammate, just out to win. He was a proven winner. And he did it for 19 years. And very few guys play that long. And so he touches both categories. There are other players that in the argument at other times that had great peak values but not the long careers. He had both.
So what do you think is the next chapter for the San Antonio Spurs? How do you think they will transition?
They took a preemptive step last year by signing LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
No, he's not Tim Duncan, but he's a very good player, and he was the best player available in the free agent market in 2015, summer, and they got him, and now he's ready to. He was a slow starter last year, if you recall. There were some remarking in November and maybe even into December. His numbers weren't that great. As time went on, he acclimated himself. Now there'll be more burden placed on him, no question. Especially since Manu Ginobili is effectively done. I mean, he's not anywhere near the player he once was, if he even decides to come back. And Tony Parker's 33 years of age, and he's going to come off a summer playing for France. He's going to be more exhausted before the season even starts. So it's going to be a lot of it's going to be placed on all. Now they also have a great player in Kawhi Leonard. He is the star of the team. But Aldridge is going to have increased responsibility. I think he can handle it. They're going to be fine. They may not win. They'll win their customary 50. They won't win 60, perhaps, but they'll be a team to be reckoned with.
Okay, so we shine the spotlight on the San Antonio Spurs. Let's do a crossover. Let's head over to the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about your Boston Celtics. How would you rate their offseason moves, and do you think they're taking the right steps towards a rebuild? What's been your assessment?
Al Horford is a wonderful improvement step to help them get another round deeper into the playoffs, at least. I don't know that they're absolutely done. Or rumors had been swirling about everything, including a blockbuster three-way that would have brought them Blake Griffin. That's a fantasy. If the fans, if that ever happens, the Celtic fans should have every reason to be very, very, very excited.
Yeah,
but we'll see how that materializes. They've taken proper steps. There was so much was expected because of the proliferation of draft picks that Danny Ainge had acquired. Turns out they weren't as valuable as people thought, not only in the first 2 years. They still have more coming from Brooklyn, and there's no reason to think Brooklyn will be anything but a terrible team in the next year, and they should have a very high pick again next year with the option to pick Brooklyn's pick. And they're moving in the right direction, and they're entertaining, and they have a great young coach. They kind of created a star in Isaiah Thomas. Certainly no one when he came to Boston expected him to be this good a player. But we did learn in both with the playoffs of the last 2 years that asking a 5 foot 8 inch guard to be your primary scorer is just asking too much. Even though he had a 42-point game along the way, he had too many games where he was stymied, and he needs help. And Al Horford is a step, is a major improvement. He's a guy who can score inside, he can score outside. He's a winning ball player. The only hitch, if you will, is that he's 31, or will play at 31. It'd be nice if he were 4 years younger, but, it's an imperfect world.
We're going one-on-one with ESPN's and longtime Boston Globe sports columnist Bob Ryan. Stick around. Much more coming your way at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Hey, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love for you to connect with us. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports as we continue our conversation with Bob Ryan from ESPN. Did the Celtics, did they really have a legitimate shot at Kevin Durant?
I think they had a on the rail outside chance because they are a team on the move. He certainly could say to himself, I think I'm enough to get them over the hump. He could have easily said that, along with Al Horford. Apparently, there's a friendship there, and there was some speculation that the Horford signing might be a nice inducement for Kevin Durant. But I never took it too seriously myself. I just found that one hard to believe. I knew there were better chances. If his number one goal, mm-hmm. his absolute unquestioned number one goal, was to find a team that could get him a ring quicker, the quickest, then he did the right thing for himself. I mean, obviously, it makes common sense that you go to the Warriors and assuming that you'll acclimate yourself to everything there, and you guys all have a little give and take about how you're going to play now that you've got him, et cetera, they ought to be fine. That's fine. I don't think there would have been any other team that would have enabled him to feel as comfortable about the possibility of winning at all. Boston certainly would never have provided that kind of comfort.
Well, the Warriors, of course, as you're talking about, they win the KD sweepstakes. Agree with the decision?
I wish he hadn't done it. I wish I was always one of those. I was, in the matter of Texit, I was a Romaine guy. How's that? And say, I was a Romaine guy. I was not a lead guy.
Right.
I wanted him to stay. I always want people to stay in those smaller markets when they have a star. I hope and he was so comfortable there, and it seemed to be such a good fit. Is he going to play? Well, I did predict incorrectly that he would never play with a teammate as talented as Russell Westbrook again if he were to leave, because it never dawned on me until the 11th hour that he actually would ever go to Golden State. So we can have that argument now about whether or not that's going to be true. But I didn't believe he would go anywhere where he'd ever play with a better player than Russell Westbrook, and he may very well have done so now playing with Steph. But I was hoping he would have stayed, and I'm a little wary. I know the argument is raging about the super team thing. I grew up in the era when the New York Yankees were the American League, Ted Williams famously said before he retired, all the American League has is me and the Yankees, and when I go, the league's going to be pretty damn dull. He wasn't too far off from the truth when that happened in the 60s. So I wish it hadn't happened. I wish that the OKC had a chance to go for it one more time with him.
I'd love for you to weigh in on this. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says Kevin Durant signing with Golden State shows that there's a need for change. And when you talk about the collective bargaining agreement, that in order to be able to maintain that competitive balance, should we take a fresh look and reexamine to make it better?
I don't think so. I don't. I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't see how you can legislate that away without infringing on player movement. I mean, it's kind of contradictory. I mean, you have free agency. The first word means something. You have a choice, and anything they do that would restrict that choice. If players want to do that, I that's okay. They set themselves up. I mean, look what happened the first year when Miami, mm-hmm. I think most of America was rooting against Miami that first year out. I don't think there's any question about it, that people were rooting for Dallas. And I know I was, and that was kind of the reason. And now Golden State's going to have to put up with that, and it's not going to be easy when they get to the final, to the playoffs. So because of this, I'm not comfortable with it. What I do find not amusing, I don't even know, or appalling, or perplexing, or just it's just hard to grasp, is the money that we are talking about as a result of this TV contract that has resulted in money, extraordinary sums of money going to very average players. I don't mind the stars getting the money, but some of these contracts are just beyond the pale. I'm not going to name names because I'll forget whatever is the greatest one, but there are some truly jaw-dropping, you got to be kidding
right.
me, contracts. And by the way, Tom Penn of ESPN, I got to give him credit, on the air about 2 weeks ago, said there's going to be a new category of player in the NBA this year. It's going to be called, he got what? and that's exactly what's happening. He got what? Yeah. We're not talking about Kevin Durant. You know, obviously, Russell, we're talking about guys who are barely fifth or sixth men.
Only about 60 seconds left with Bob Ryan from ESPN and longtime Boston Globe sports columnist, having a compelling conversation tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to completely shift gears. Give us a quick hit on Deflategate. Should Tom Brady, he continue fighting the suspension? What do you think, Bobby?
No, Tom Brady, this is going far enough. Tom Brady should give it up. It's really insulting to even ask the Supreme Court to get involved, even though the issue was not being with the Supreme Court, would not be the inflation or deflation of the footballs. It would be the procedural matter of whether the CBA was handled properly by Roger Goodell and the implications, therefore, that it could have with other CBAs and other walks of life. That would be the reason why Ruth Bader Ginsburg would say, okay, I think we should pick this up. But I hope she doesn't do it, and I hope they don't do it. Just get on with it. There are four winnable. There are games that are winnable and losable. They can go 2-2 in those games. They got three of them at home. They come out. They're 2-2. He saves 4 days of wear and tear. But let me just very quickly summarize the whole thing. It's absurd. This thing is jaywalking. They're giving him 20, and the Patriots, they've given him 20 years to life for jaywalking. They had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. The reason for all this is very clear to me, and has been since the first day, which is this is not about the footballs. It's not even about Tom Brady. This is about punishing the Patriots on behalf of the other 31 owners once and for all their transgressions of the past 15 years, real or imagined. And it's mushroomed into something very different with regard to all this procedural nonsense. This is all it's about. The Patriots, the crime was minor, laughable, stupid, affected the game not one iota. And yet I don't dispute that they should have been punished more than other teams for what they did. So what they should have gotten was $50,000 to $100,000 fine instead of the $25,000 fine that the rules called for. Any other team, the morning after the game, would have gotten a phone call from the league. They would have said, you know, you were fooling around with the football. $25,000, that's what's in the books. Put the check in the mail. We'll see you later. Uh-huh. And everybody at Park Avenue goes to lunch. But it's the Patriots. I understand the desire to punish the Patriots, but they went way over the top.
Always some strong opinions when Bob Ryan joins us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Longtime Boston Globe sports columnist. You can check him out online.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.